Hi, this is Matt Groening.
This is Brad Bird, director of Krusty Gets Busted.
Hi, this is Wally Walidarsky, one of the writers.
And Jake Hogan, one of the other writers. We're not sure who wrote that blackboard joke.
There were always just like tons of lists of them, and people just pick out the best ones, so who knows.
This is also kind of the longer sequence that was in the first year, and anytime somebody suggested cutting into it to give a little more time in the episode, Matt fought it because he liked the opening titles thing. But the thing that Rich Moore misses on this show, he's one of the other directors, is this thing coming up where Lisa pedals her bike home. And that had a great piece of music that Rich Moore liked. It's right after this. And it got cut fairly early in the run of the show.
Well, those bus stop characters really took off. You remember them?
That was a brief show in the mid-90s.
This part, Rich Moore liked.
So not banjo case she's got there.
But I remember seeing it and really like the town started to be defined, you know, like we started to get a sense of where things were and what it even looked like. But when we started writing the show, no one really knew what it looked like, you know, where anything was or what they even had.
I wanted to open this show with Krusty's face, and then it was a thing that I kept jumping back to at the beginning of each act, and you can kind of tell the arc of the show from the first shot of each act begins with a face. The second act begins with Krusty's face behind bars, and the third act begins with Sideshow Bob's face. So it's kind of the arc of the show is visible through the first shot of each act.
Look at how short those credits are.
I know, refreshing, isn't it?
The credits now, they end like right as the first commercial break, it seems like. They're so long.
I love this script, you guys, because of that, the line about what would you do if I got canceled? We'd kill ourselves. I couldn't believe we got away with that.
And as I recall, a few kids did actually kill themselves. I can't believe we got away with that either.
Krusty is based on a guy that both Matt and I knew in Oregon, kind of roughly, who actually had a kids show in Oregon, didn't he?
Krusty the Clown was based in part by a clown in Portland, Oregon, who had a TV show. The clown's name was Rusty Nails.
Yes.
He's a really sweet clown, actually, with a Christian message sometimes. but he had the scariest name I've ever heard of any clown.
I know a porn Rusty actor Nails. By the same name.
And he had a part interest in a dairy, though, too, up there. And Matt and I grew up knowing about this clown, and I actually mentioned it to Matt and said, is this based on, and he goes, you know Rusty Nails? And I said, yeah. But I mean, it's clearly not Rusty Nails, as you said. I was hoping you could pick up
a half gallon of... In the rewrite room, we always had, Sam Simon never could figure out which one was the cat and which one was the mouse, Itchy or Scratchy. He's constantly confused.
I thought Itchy was the mouse, wasn't it?
He made a point of not knowing.
Oh.
He also wrote the theme song. He was very happy with the theme song he wrote.
Yes.
I remember the script when we were writing it. When Jay and I wrote it first, it was 78 pages long.
Yeah.
Right before we turned it in.
And
the
it
night
was
before
perfect.
We
Yeah, we
made out.
Actually seven episodes out of that show.
This is the first appearance of Abu.
Right, we started it in a 90-page script.
Yeah, it got really long.
Isn't that the first appearance of Apu? I think it is.
Wow.
I think so. We get character payments. Oh.
I remember Sam was really into Apu because Sam was a guy who went to 7-Eleven more than anybody else I'd ever met. He was always going to 7-Elevens, and he knew every 7-Eleven all over the Southland, it seemed like.
Apu is Southland Corporation is 7-Eleven.
Apu is named after the Apu trilogy by Satyajit Ray, the great Indian film director. You know, by the way, there's a joke back there about triple chocolate being a flavor. That was such an outrageous exaggeration back in 1990. Yes, I know that procedure for armed robbery. I do work in a... And now there really is a flavor.
So there's something kind of interesting going on here where Kelsey's voice is alternating with Dan's, and it's kind of surreal, but it sort of works.
This is our tour group. This is a Mexican delicacy called a taco platter. Delicious.
Yeah, like I remember we wrote this much longer slideshow with them attack being busted for muling heroin back into America from Mexico.
They met up with some guy named Pedro and had an affair.
But is this the man?
Yeah. Wait a minute. It's a guy from TV.
The Hays codes were still in effect there, wasn't it?
I remember that when we wrote this episode, it was... oh, wait. This is my favorite joke in all of Simpsons.
Just that?
I love that. I mean, it just, like, takes a real moment, you know? I just love that he, like, has this delicate little squirt.
There, you can't see any of the glass, but you had to do the sound effect. I remember people argued about that shot, putting the gun to his head.
No, that is a standard thing in television. You don't get to put guns to people's head.
But
we do it on the show all the time.
We did it.
Yeah.
Remember, like, Wiggum? Like, we didn't even know who Wiggum was at this point. So, like, he's not really stupid yet. He's kind of getting there, but he's not fully a real idiot yet. He's, like, more like a real cop.
Crime is making me laugh. They're all guilty. No,
which one is the robber?
Oh, definitely number.
Yeah.
Simpson!
Four.
No one has ever laughed that much at clowns.
Well, I think that's one of the great things about The Simpsons is that they're totally on board with whatever it is they're looking at. They talk back to the TV. They run out the door to go to the truck rally as soon as they hear about it.
They're very enthusiastic and or stupid.
I'm home, everybody.
Goody gumdrop. You missed the whole slideshow, Homer.
Oh, fantastic. Margie,
so this was, you know, fairly early. This is the first season, and the mouths, I think, are kind of a little weirdly animated. And I remember this was before they had assistant directors, and I worked on this for like two... I was sick when I started it, and I was sick 2.5 months later.
Right after this commercial message.
Wait a minute. Bart, you know that guy in your lunchbox?
Oh, you mean Krusty the Clown?
He's sort of a hero of yours, isn't he?
Are you kidding? He's my idol. I've based my whole life on Krusty's teachings.
So, maybe you better run off to bed.
Krusty the Clown is behind bars tonight after a daring twilight robbery of a local Quickie Mart.
Krusty!
Oh, no!
Oh. Earlier this evening, the Springfield SWAT team apprehended the TV clown.
Those squeaking shoes, that's something we've dropped.
Can you imagine keeping that up?
We had a whole joke about Scott Christensen, about Kent Brockman news camera, Kent Brockman news team, and then it was, now here's Scott Christensen filling in for Kent Brockman, but that never made it in.
I love this dive. This always makes me laugh. Into the potato chips.
So,
yes.
Comes out.
And over all your money in a paper bag.
Oh, Krusty, how could you?
This was kind of a challenge to try to get all this stuff on the TV from an angle that could conceivably be from a, you know, 7-Eleven camera. And so, oh, the dive doesn't come until the courtroom. It's in the courtroom. It's in the courtroom.
Yeah.
Good color.
This actually, I was really amazed. Like, we... We didn't know The Simpsons would be a huge merchandising bonanza and we were going to make Matt so rich. But we wrote the stuff anyway, just that they were caught up in it. And sure enough, like, the stuff came out. And I have that doll, but it's Bart.
By the way, thanks for all your help.
Anytime, pal.
We actually did Krusty the Clown dolls.
Here's Krusty's face again, only this time it's behind bars.
Krusty the Clown. The beloved idol of countless.
So each act again is you know, begins with Krusty's or someone's face.
Right, he was kind of like a Ted Koppel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hang on each new development. But he also became his own thing.
There was when
you hear Mike Wallace
note,
in that voice. Mm-hmm. That's Mike Wallace.
But
when
you first did that drawing, I said, what did Kent Brockman look like? I think it was this episode, too, but... Oh.
Well, he's a little bit like local anchor Hal Fishman on Channel 5.
Yes.
But he looks kind of...
Itchy and scratchy cartoon kids.
This, when they were doing the recording session at this, I almost blew the take because Dan did this incredibly funny heart attack, and I was just keeping myself from laughing.
I had to leave. I actually had to leave the room because I was laughing.
The sound effect is so great of the sizzling, the grease, you know? It's fantastic.
And then the kids just laugh.
Yeah, and I actually animated the heart attack part there. There's some really weird drawings. If you DVD geeks want to go through in slow motion, there's some really kind of whack drawings.
I have a stolen Simpson cell of the last heart attack footage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the cells from the first season are stolen. If they don't have that little 20th Century Fox logo in
they're
the corner,
not real.
They were stolen.
Oh, yeah. Here it is, the dive. And mosques. Oh, no, it's not here.
Oh, no, it's not here.
It's at the courtroom. I'm telling you, it's at the courtroom.
An excellent guide to this DVD.
Right, I know. I don't remember anything.
It's true.
This I remember thinking about the Beatles, that, you know, the John Lennon records. So I remember always thinking that was something that was inspiring us. Relatively snug uniform of Springfield Penitentiary. We'll find out tomorrow when his trial begins. That's
great,
also one of the great things about the animated show is that, like, he robs a Quickie Mart and his trial begins the next day. It's fantastic.
So
you don't even care.
His face is so
Also, you can go to the electric chair for a local crime, too.
That's true.
Know, in the local jail.
So wanted to try to do that in one shot so that you could move from Krusty to the stairs and then see the shoes go right by in front of their face.
I think what's great about Springfield is that everybody laughs derisively in unison.
Look, it's Bork. Remember, this is right when Bork was...
Yeah, but they did the hair color wrong.
Right.
We asked for the, a certain hair color and they didn't. They did the wrong hair color.
I don't remember who that lawyer is, though. Is that somebody out of Inherit the Wind or something? I can't remember.
Yeah, isn't it like... I think his hair color's wrong, too. It's supposed to be white, isn't it? Oh, here it is, Molly.
I love the distance he can travel to get into that shipwreck.
That cowardly dive into that display of heavily salted snack treats.
Yes, sir. Is that supposed to be Clarence Darrow?
Do you recognize the gunman?
I don't remember.
Something like that.
Yes, I do. Fine. Would you point him out?
I remember Mike and Al and Sam had a lot of really funny jokes in the scene.
Oh, man.
Let the record show that the witness eventually pointed to Krusty the Clown.
The number on Krusty's uniform is A113, which I try to put in every one of my films that I direct, and it shows up. And
what does it mean?
It's actually my classroom number from CalArts. It's a geek thing.
Yeah.
This was an early Simpsons thing, is that we were really into the idea. I remember, like, always talking about how Springfield is a town ruled by a mob mentality, and at every turn the town will give in to the crazy anger of a mob, you know. But because these are children's toys, like, there's this thing coming up that I love, the fire lighting of people's faces, you know.
Yeah, and they love it.
I always love, because it just made me think of, like, people aren't upset. They're like, ooh.
They like it, yeah. I also like the children's toys are like kerosene.
Tell me what you see. Yeah, like, I remember this was a Sam joke. I remember distinctly him pitching this joke.
The one with the big B on it. What's the matter? Can't you read?
No, I can't. I can't read or write. I admit it. I'm totally illiterate. Now, are you happy?
Can it be that the champion of child literacy can't even read himself?
Is it a crime to be illiterate?
All right.
I think this was one of the only episodes where you see Krusty without his makeup.
Yeah, it's the only one I can remember.
Because for some reason...
we had long debates. Obviously, a clown doesn't really wear his makeup constantly. And then we just said, oh, forget it. And yes, he does on The Simpsons.
I think it's weird. I think it's really eccentric, you know?
We had a huge... Just to point out the thing from before, The Simpsons had one of the highest percentages of gambling writers in the office, so that was a big part of our lives. Football betting was a big part of our lives at the time. So we had, of course, had Krusty be addicted to gambling.
My young friends, for years I have been silent, save for the crude glissandos of this primitive...
I remember at first when the script came out, they were talking about
in the coming
James
weeks,
Earl Jones
doing some rather
voice,
sweeping changes in our
I
program.
I can't imagine anyone other than alarmed. Kelsey, because I think
itchy
he did such a great
scratchy.
Job. So
we'll
funny.
Still have a home here, but we will also learn about nutrition, self-esteem, etiquette, and all the lively arts.
What the hell are you doing, Lise?
I'm watching Sideshow Bob.
You know, he's a lot less patronizing than Krusty used to be. You backstabber, you traitor, you... Snap out of it, Bart. Face the facts. All those hours we spent staring at Krusty, we were staring
and
at
Jim
a crook.
And Jim Brooks really loved the idea that he was Krusty's the... innocent. You know, he
Don't
was actually better than Krusty for kids.
It's just a feeling. Educational.
Yeah, that's funny.
Krusty's innocent. Yeah, and that's really apparent in the last scene where he's screaming back, treat kids as equals. You know, as he's being thrown into the prison.
You're smarter than I think this is like one of the beginning of Lisa being smarter, too, because earlier she really was just more of a normal kid. Even in the beginning of this episode, and you're starting to see that, like, she's actually smarter than Bart.
This is the kind of section you look for when you're directing animation that's sort of done quickly, because... you can get away with doing very simple poses and getting a lot of footage done. And this essentially pays for the more elaborate stuff. Because you can do a few very simple poses and eat up a lot of footage. This allows you to do the more complex things that are like Sideshow Bob singing and stuff like that, which comes right after this.
Yeah, we really spent a lot of time pitching on those magazine titles. Do you see those? It was like teens.
Well, I think we didn't pitch on any. That's why they got in that way.
Yeah.
You know, now we pay very close attention to that stuff.
I know. We started paying much more attention to it in the second season.
Well, also, there was a background design style of not connecting the lines together. It's very sloppy,
right.
And we've tightened things up a little bit.
Broken only by the approach. I did a lot of the poses for this stuff. This putting this little thing with the fingers.
Sorry. Go ahead. The kids are just loving this book. A real show where a guy who reads to kids would not have kids loving it. Or they sing Cole Porter.
I got some grief for this because of this incredibly slow fade to black. They told me it was really a problem because if they made one mistake during shooting, this incredibly long scene would have to be started again from scratch. But it worked out.
Great show, Sideshow. Switchboards were jammed. The kids loved it.
Thanks, Ed. I'm glad we finally dispelled the myth that I'm too uptown for the tots. And yet I can't help thinking about...
This, I remember, Brad, you talked a lot about this sequence. I remember how great it looked. Like, it actually looked like real animation.
Yeah, an incredible simulation of real animation.
We see your face again. But I remember at the time, like, it seemed very luxurious to us. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that those other sequences sort of paid for it. Here's beginning the third act with, now it's Sideshow Bob's face. And it's kind of a simple way of showing that the power is shifted to Bob. So each act begins with a face.
Well, we can sign these contracts tomorrow.
Certainly. I take great pride in being able to sign my own name.
Especially like Hank and Harry talking
to each other.
Each other every time there's a peripheral character.
Yeah.
Okay, but come, let's run along.
That was I was trying to figure out a way to kind of give him some action that would kind of hint that there's something going on with his feet. So I gave him the, you know, putting on the shoes so you could see it.
See those little spike-haired yellow kids? We got rid of all those. No, only Bart and Lisa can have the spiky hairdo.
Yeah. In the opening titles, there's a guy at the bus stop who
know,
has Bart's hair, too.
Totally,
I know, it drove
irritating.
You crazy.
Yeah. Segment exploring pre-adolescent turmoil.
I call it choices. So this was kind of, so, the Bart, poses were kind of modeled after Donahue and stuff like that, you know, with the one foot up, the pseudo-casual.
I can see the difference between Sideshow Bob and Frasier is nothing. They are the same character. When I worked on Frasier years later, it was no problem.
Krusty was framed.
Framed?
Well, the videotape showed that the thief...
Was it hard to leave The Simpsons and go right for live action?
Actually, it was.
Yeah, I tanked afterwards.
It was difficult.
That's what I was trying to get at.
I mean, because to actually have to write a scene where the camera... You can't write a half a page and move on to the next setup. I mean, it's scenes. They're long, and they're often boring. The fact is,
you don't have to be able to read to enjoy the spring. You get kind of spoiled at being able to do any short gag anywhere.
Yeah, write it. Bart on top of a mountain. You can ride it. You can show it.
Bart, children, This whole sordid affair has been a shock to all of us, but we must get on with our lives.
I love shoving those names into the show. It's such a funny thing. At the time, Fox was, like, married with children and a bunch of other racy, crummy shows, so it's just a funny idea to stick those names in.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I loved about The Simpsons was that they would do a very literate joke and then, like, 10 seconds later do a butt crack joke, you know?
It was always best. Hey, look at Susan Sontag's butt crack.
Yeah. We could combine the two. It was always the best. Right.
This was a complicated sequence because we had to show all the things that Bart was thinking of. And this is the feet going into the mouth. He put his foot in his mouth.
Fellow children, Krusty didn't rob that store. Sideshow Bob framed him, and I got proof.
I love this script, and I asked to do this show because I love Wally's Jay's
script. Yeah, I think
script.
Jay wrote it too.
Yeah, yeah. I started watching the picture again. I'm sorry. Get out of that studio.
Yes,
I like that Bart calls all people with big feet bad people.
Yeah.
That's a bit perfect example of the cutaway. You know, like, you just get to do a funny little two-scene moment, and you don't have to worry about the extra expense.
Take them away, boys.
Treat kids as equals! They're people, too! They're smarter than you think!
That's
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. This way really led to many good episodes, because he came back. He was really a great character.
If you want to know why he didn't come back every single season, it's because the seasons in which he didn't appear, we just could not think of another reason
to get him out of jail. Yeah.
And I'm sorry I fingered you in court. I sincerely hope that the horrible stories I heard about what goes on in prison are exaggerated.
I like the kind of glazed-eyed guy standing between Krusty and Homer. He's thinking of what he's going to say.
We had a much more brutal joke about prison, as I recall, but yeah. Get down to that.
You get it, though.
I had a whole thing about him walking into prison saying, "Fresh clown, fresh clown."
This is so sweet, though. I mean, you know, we do all this crazy stuff. It really is sweet. I see at the end. It really, it's great. You know, like his hero's back. You know, it's nice.
Yeah. Well, great script, you guys. And
well, you know, so many people worked on it. So it's, that so much about The Simpsons at the time, and probably still to this day, is that, you know, people write it, but there's so much input from other people.
So many people.
On the show that it's hard to take full credit.
I have to say, Brad Bird, especially, if you recall, you know, the writers were pretty tough, and Brad would come into the writer's room and actually, like, pitch jokes. He was, like, the only non-writer who was actually in there.
Yeah, it's amazing you didn't throw me out immediately.
No, I remember this being the best animated episode.